Amen. It has been an experience moving to Kentucky. It was funny. A man from Louisiana came to me when he found out we were moving. He said, "What are you doing moving to Kentucky?" I said, "Well, it's where the Lord would want us." And he said, "Yeah, but you know the language there." I said, "Well, we'll try to learn it." And I thought it's funny somebody from Louisiana saying something about a Kentucky accent. You know, it's a funny situation down there south of I-10. You can't understand nothing they say. I went to a church to preach out in the swamp, and I forgot some LaBattery something. I don't know. Just out there in the swamp one night for a minister's meeting. We got out there and everybody in there had overalls on. And I mean, I think they were beating tubs or something. It was really backwards. I'd never been to such a backwards church, and I couldn't understand a word they sung. I couldn't understand a word they said. All I knew is Brother Josh is coming to preach. That's all about all I got out of the service. The man with me, he said the same thing. We got outside. He said, "Did you understand one word they said?" I said, "No," but I did. I tell you, it's been wonderful being here, having my family just to be with us tonight. When we first moved here, my son Josiah, I tell this, and you know, Josiah is very good at spelling, very just always been able to spell very well. And the first week he comes home from school and he had misspelled window on the spelling test. I said, "Son, why did you put a R at the end of window?" He said, "Well, Daddy, that's how they say it. Winder, you know, winder." I said, "It's not a winder, it's a window, you know." But it was just, we've had a few experiences like that. And there where we are, that our pastor's wife, first time I'd ever heard anybody say far. She don't say fire, she says far. Well, I laugh and I joke about that. And, you know, I thought it was funny. Well, the joke was on me in Indonesia 2-3 months ago. I'm preaching along, and I mean, I'm going for it, and I'm preaching that Elijah, he called the fire down. And for some reason, I got the notion that if I said fire twice, it makes it more spiritual. So I said, "He called the fire down." I said the fire. That translator looked at me like, "What'd you say?" I said, just don't even translate that. Just don't even. Later, she wanted to know what the fire was, you know, like it was smoke or something. I said, "No, it's nothing, you know." But I tell you, we travel a lot and pick up different things. But it's been wonderful. Been wonderful being here this week, you know, as we come to preach these services. I felt from the very first service and seeking the Lord that it's a time of God dealing with His church. You know that those virgins, five wise and five foolish, they were virgins. They represent the church. They were there, but some of them had no oil. But there come a cry, but the cry that came to come out to meet the bridegroom, well, by the time they woke up to the fact they had no oil, it was too late. The hour had passed. And, you know, the cry of this hour, from the pulpit to the streets to wherever we are, our families, a church generation must wake up that the bridegroom is coming to trim the lamp, to get the fire burning again. See, folks, it isn't. I've come through a time of watching it be a shout. I've seen the shout in a lot of places, but it was just smoke. It's time to be a people that demonstrate what we are, to show the nation, to show our community, our family, what we believe. You know, it's an hour that we wake up. I really believe that if, you know, as the scripture would read, that if my people who are called by my name, that's you and I, we are the people, we are the children of God. We are that spiritual Israel. We're God's bride, God's testimony on this earth. He desires us, His people, that if we would turn from our wicked ways, get the sin out of the church, get it out of our homes, our lives, our families, get the sin out, turn from wicked ways, humble ourselves. Don't be proud as a peacock. Just humble ourselves before God. Pray to the Lord. Seek Him earnestly. Seek Him in the morning. Seek Him at the night. Seek Him in the midnight hour. Burn that oil. Seek the Lord. If we'd do that and we'd turn from that wickedness, He said He'd heal the land. Would you remember when He told the children of Israel, "You're going to Canaan"? He said to them, "It's my land. There was an enemy encamped on God's land, but God had a people that was going to get that enemy out. But he told them, I can't send you in 1 year, but little by little, I'll increase you till you can possess all of the land. That's what he told them. Little by little, you'll grow, you'll strengthen till you can to take that land. See, you and I understand there's a darkness out there. There's sin, the devil, there's wickedness. If you knew how much witchcraft, I was reading just last night, yesterday sometime, a little girl went missing out there in Houston. They found her in Beaumont, where we live, found her body out there, just scattered all throughout a field. And they told us out there in Texas, the witchcraft that farmers continually found their animals with no heads. They'd find them with their legs cut off as the demonic people would go into the fields and practice their witchcraft and all of that. There's a satanic force out there. They're on the move. There's a Muslim agenda in this nation. It's on the move. The Mormons have a destination. They're on the move. I'm telling you, it seems everybody has a goal except the church. We're floundering around in the water hoping something good comes out of it. But God said, if my people humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I'd heal that land. I'd hear from heaven. I'd heal the land. See, the problem with London, Berea, with Kentucky, it isn't, folks, with those outside. God's problem is with his church. If he could get the church to wake up to the high calling in God in Christ, the high calling of God in Christ, we'd reach this nation. There'd be a lighthouse shining from here all the way to the interstate. It's shining this community. See, the hope of a nation is in the church. That's why Peter said judgment begins at the house of God. It must begin here. God deals with us. If he deals with us and finds us righteousness, he can flood the nation with righteousness. But if he finds you and I, finds us in sin, darkness fills those streets. See, the condition of a nation, it only is occupied. If I had time tonight, I could take you through history and show you as the church goes, so goes the world. It wasn't until that third century when the church lost the power, accepted that Catholic dogmatism and all of that, changed those rituals and changed those statues. It's only then we were cast into the dark ages. Follow that all the way through. Follow it. Find a church in the 70s. They were seeking prosperity and healing more than seeking God. It turned into the 80s, a nation in prosperity, seeking after things. Now we're more in debt than we've ever been before. $10 trillion, whatever, we are in debt. That started back years ago, folks. It was a time when there was a balanced budget, but the nation got too big, looking to be, to benefit all of that. It all came out of a church. I could say it this way, there'd have never been a Clinton in the White House if there wasn't a Swaggart in a pulpit, if there wasn't somebody, if there wasn't sin in that Pentecostal church, adultery preaching from a pulpit. There would have never been an adulterer sitting in that White House. See, it all comes down as we go. If we pray, we humble, we seek God, then God will move on our behalf. The Bible said there in Habakkuk, he said, God came down. Even the mountains shook at the presence of God. The mountains melted when the glory came down. David cried out, Psalms 85, there throughout, I guess, Psalms, God come down. And when he came, all of nature even knew God had come. I'm telling you, if Pentecost would fall in here tonight, this neighborhood behind us, they'd know God was here, folks. Even when without an active evangelism, the people of London, Kentucky, that know God had showed up at First Pentecostal. Let the glory fall down. It'll get the attention of the man out there walking down the road. The cars, I'm not so sure. It might not stop 75, folks, if God come down. I'm telling you, the glory of God. I was in a village in the Naga tribe preaching one night. I have this on audio. We didn't have video. I have it on audio. I'm preaching to the Naga tribe. They had invited me to a Baptist church. I don't know why this happens. I've been getting a lot of invitations. I've got an invitation to Romania, got an invitation to different places to preach on the Holy Ghost. Well, they invited me, a Baptist group, to come and to talk about evangelism. When I showed up there, they had a big sign across the back of the church, to reach the unreached. Well, when I read that, I put my sermon down. I knew what I must preach on. Amen. You shall be a witness after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You want to reach this nation? You want to reach the tribes? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I preached that night. They had a Baptist church that brought their youth to sing. They were all there. It was a packed house. Americans were there. People from different countries. It was a big deal. What we were doing. I'm up there preaching, and I said to them, I said, if you need to be filled, you've never been filled, we want to pray for you tonight. The first person that came up was an American, and he came up to be born again. I'd preach on the Holy Ghost. He came to be saved. He was on a little mission trip with his wife. She was the missionary. He wasn't even born again. He comes up, and the young people filled the front of the church. I come on to the left side, and as I go to pray for the first girl, she's lined up, there's a whole line, I go to pray. Before I even touched her, she fell on the ground speaking in tongues, and when she did, everybody simultaneously began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and God was everywhere. Hour after hour after hour, people was weeping and crying. They'd go out, they'd get a little cup of tea, some of them come back in, get touched again. God would minister that night. When we're leaving that little church, people are in the ditches, people in their houses are weeping as far as you could hear. People were crying out, and all the time I get invitations, please come back to Naga and preach us the gospel. I see, I'm telling you, this is what works around the world. When I first went to Sri Lanka, I got invited to preach at a Presbyterian church. They said, don't preach doctrine. I said, I don't know who that is. I only know Jesus. I don't know doctrine. I come in there, I preach that night. I preach being born of this Spirit, filled with this Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. Got through, gave the altar call. 15 Presbyterians came up weeping, and before it was over, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The entire church changed. Well, I got invited right after that to a little village outside of Colombo, a Baptist church. They invite me for a Tuesday morning ministers' fellowship. I go there to preach. Show up. I'm telling you, folks, it was dead like you couldn't imagine. I mean, I hadn't been in a Baptist church since I was a kid, but that was the deadest I'd ever seen. They wouldn't know, even during the worship, nobody was saying nothing. It was quiet. Well, we get up to preach. I preach an hour, give an altar call, nobody comes. The man with me, he preached an hour, nobody come. I came up the third time. I preached an hour again. And at the end of this, I preached on to do the will of God. Do you desire to do the will of God? Amen. As he sent me, I send you. Do you desire to be used of God? I gave that preach. I preached that sermon for an hour, gave the altar call. Well, 5 women, 2 men came up, 7 people. They came up and lined the front. I came around the side, and as I came around the side, I'm going to say, would more people please come? You know, is there anybody else here feel called to ministry? But when I came around the side, simultaneously, all 7 of them fell on their knees and began to speak with tongues. I had not even preached on the Holy Ghost. I'd preached on giving your life for the service of God. And God filled all 7 of them. And when God come down, that place exploded. I mean, people are weeping, crying. They're repenting to each other. One pastor's telling another, I've talked about you. I'm sorry. Another one, I mean, God is everywhere. You know how effective it was? I have the pictures. The entire village came to the church to see what was going on, to see. They lined up around that church. What's going on? I've got, you know, the man with me, he said, I've never seen nothing like this. They are pulling on our legs. Little 10, 12-year-old children crying so hard. Why are they crying? They don't even know the presence of God is there. They're weeping, crying, pulling on us, not wanting us to leave. I'm telling you, the answer to every problem in this nation, the problem with the alcohol, the problem with the drugs of this community, whether it be prostitution, whether it be the sale of drugs, whatever it is, the answer is for a church to be filled with God. The answer lies at the footsteps of the church. Remember, we're the lighthouse in this community. And if the lighthouse goes out, how are people going to see their way to God? If the light goes out, folks, the Bible said, how great is the darkness? That tells me when that light goes out, the darkness is coming in. Turn these lights off in here. You don't got to beg the darkness to come. This room will be dark instantly. Turn the light on. The darkness runs for its life. It runs and hides when the light comes on. And the same is true in London tonight. Darkness is everywhere, but if the switch would come on in this church, that darkness would flee, folks. It'd flee for its life. I'm telling you, the answer is here tonight, of people to know their God and do exploits, to be strong and do exploits for their God. Amen. Amen. I'm not preaching yet. I will preach, but I want to say thank you for Pastor, Sister, for allowing us to be here. I'm a little bit long-winded every once in a while, but I do thank them for allowing us to come. And you know, the mission meetings over the years have been such a blessing to us being here. You know, this last year and the year before, just ministering. 2 years ago, I met a We're leaving, and a lady had a little booth over here. I talked to her during the missions, and we're leaving, and I'm helping her carry a box out to her car. And she said to me, she said, I'm not right with God. I need help in my life. Began to talk to her. I said, what do you mean you're not right? She said, all I think about is quitting ministry. I can't make it. I'm having a hard time. I'm trying to give Bibles. I'm trying to do this and that, but I'm really struggling. Oh, I was able to tell her the testimony. I told you last night about that submarine. God touched her. She was weeping. I'm telling you, folks, it's been such a blessing to be able to just be blessed by others and bless them and the fellowship. And we look forward to this year's mission meeting. I pray you be praying about it now, that God would move. I'm telling you, we lack in this hour. What we lack is a generation behind us to carry the gospel. We lack. We've got some good people on the field. We've got some good people. But folks, the world is about 16,000 miles around, 20,000 miles around. It's a big world. It's big. And we need a demonstration of God everywhere. And you can't say we've got one man in Nigeria and that's enough. Folks, Africa's a big old continent. Oh, we got one man down in South India. No, India's a billion people. Well, we got a person in China. No, we need a testimony in every village, everywhere, that God real. Amen. We need people to rise up and to carry this gospel. We support Cody Randall, Hannah, I believe y'all support, but I tell you, they so touched me. God called, dealt with them. They go over there, just take up the ministry. You know, God using them in a mighty way. It just blesses my heart to see a young couple that would desire to do the will of God. Amen. You be praying about that. There'll be a lot of, whether it be choirs or young people from the school, different ones, be praying that God would move in a mighty way. Be praying maybe even one of you would be the one to rise up and carry the gospel. Amen. That God would call you to be a missionary for the kingdom, to go to a foreign soul and to bring a gospel to a people that's never even heard his name. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you one more testimony I'm going to preach. Amen. I'm talking long tonight. I just got back from India, the middle of December. I had an opportunity to go preach at a village that had never had the gospel. Can you imagine standing there and preaching, and all I told was the story of Jesus, how man sinned and rejected God, but God loved man that he sent his only begotten son, but yet when he came, we didn't know him. He came into his own didn't know him. We we crucified him, thinking it would benefit us, benefit our flesh, benefit us, make us more rulers of the kingdom. We thought it benefit us. We crucified him, but yet the Father in 3 days raised him from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And if you're going to know anything of God, you know him through that risen Son, not Muhammad, not the Hindu gods. You know God through his Son. I preach. Oh, 15 people came up weeping so hard. They took the microphone and said, I denounce Ganesh. I denounce Hinduism. I know Jesus is the only way to heaven. 15 of them signed their death warrant, but they knew God was real. They knew God was real. I'm telling you, the feel of that, folks, it don't compare to nothing on this earth. If you found out tomorrow that your long-lost uncle or aunt's left you $50,000, it wouldn't compare to reaching a person that never heard the name of Jesus. Nothing compares. Amen. Amen. Go with me tonight to the book of John, chapter number 12. Preaching tonight, what are we saying? What are we saying? Amen. John, chapter number 12, verse 20 and 21. As you turn there, let us pray to Heavenly Father. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your wonderful house tonight. God, that you're dealing with all of us, changing us, ministering to us. Lord, just putting your life inside of your people. We thank you tonight. God, may my eyes, our eyes be opened, our hearts, our ears. Lord, may our lameness, may it be cured. God, help us as we do this great work and finish your task of this great commission tonight. Father, help us, minister to us, minister through us, God. Lord, bless us in these altars. Call your people, deal with us, God, that we would reach and do the will of God in this hour. Lord, we love you. Help us tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What are we saying? John chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. The Bible reads, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Here is a group of people. The Bible calls them Greeks. It's a time of feast. Now, that time of feast was a very wonderful time. As you'd see the rich people throughout the kingdom, they'd bring their goats, they'd bring sheep, oxen, gold. Amen. They'd all come in. The superstars of that day, if there was any, they came to Jerusalem at the time of the feast to make a sacrifice. Well, other nations knew this, and they'd come to see the pomp and the glamour. They'd come to see it. Well, these Greeks, they come to Jerusalem. They're seeing the tour. They're seeing the Dead Sea. I don't know if it was alive back then or not, but they came to see the Dead Sea, came to see Petra. They've come to see all of that, and they thought, while we're in Jerusalem, why don't we go see Jesus, the miracle worker? Maybe he'll cast out a devil. Maybe he'll walk on water. Maybe he'll walk through a wall. We want to see this Jesus that's turning the world upside down. We would have a desire to see this man called Jesus. I'll say to you tonight, if you read on, Jesus answered them with this, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Imagine, somebody says, I want to see Jesus. Jesus' reply is, you're going to die. The corn of wheat must die. There must be a death somewhere to see the Son of God. Amen. In that flesh, you're not going to see God. That ain't my sermon tonight, but it's a good one, folks. I'm telling you, that flesh, it hates God. If you drug a religious man to heaven and you could drag him in the gate and take him into that holy city, he would beg God to get him out. God, please get me out of this city. You know why? The flesh hates the presence of God. Adam, he hid in the garden from the presence of God. Adam hid. See, man doesn't pray because he don't like the presence of God. Man don't read the word because he don't like the presence of God. Man don't like church because he don't like the presence of God. I got born again. Nobody begged me to come to church. I went. Why? It's my life. I've been born again. And if God's going to be there on Wednesday night, I want to be at church. I want to be in his presence. I love him. But if you begin to backslide, you'll find yourself not wanting church, not wanting the Bible, and not wanting God. You won't pray anymore, all because you hate the presence of God. Oh, people don't like that. I'm telling you, you hate the presence of God when you don't want to seek God. These people are saying, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And Jesus is dealing with them on who they are. But tonight, my thought in this sermon is, this morning I went to prayer. I'm praying, seeking God. God spoke to me this sermon. I've never preached it before. I wrote it down on a little notebook here. But amen. God spoke to me and said, people are desiring to see Jesus, but what are they seeing? What are they seeing? And what is the church saying to those people? There's a people out there. They're trying all the different religions. They're trying all this different stuff. They want to see Jesus. They're trying to find God. There's a lot of Buddhists. They're not possessed. They want to know who God is. A lot of Hindus, a lot of Muslims, they're looking for God and they can't find him. Read Muhammad in the 6th century. He was looking for God. There was no Peter there to lead him to the Lord. So he created his own religion. There's a lot of people tonight. They're worshiping the devil. They're claiming to be atheists, but yet still inside, they're looking for God. Where is the Jesus of the Bible? Where is the God that does miracles? Where is the God that casts out devils? Young man, I know, good friend of mine, fine young man. I met him. I mean, just a tall, strong, well-spoken. I really liked him from that day I met him. But I began to talk to him. He began to tell me. He said, when I was 14 years old, I'm going to church. 15 years old, I'm in church, but something's wrong. He said, I'm talking to myself. He said, something's wrong. He went to a service, and the evangelist called him out and said, you're devil-possessed. You've taken on that demon. And the man prayed for him and cast that devil out. He said, I never talked to myself again. I was free. That's telling you and I, there's a lot of people, they go to church, folks, but something's wrong in their life. A lot of people, they're looking, where is the God that cast out the devil? Where is the God that opens a blinded eyes? Where is the God that saves to the uttermost? Where is the God of John 3:16. Where's the God of this Bible? People are looking for him, folks, but they can't find him. Something is wrong in this hour. They said, sir, we'd like to see Jesus. I'm telling you, every time you talk to somebody, they say to you, well, I go to church, this and that. I'm telling you, inside, there's a desire to see God. I've had people, they've asked me what church you go to. That question implies there's a desire to know this God, folks. They want to see Jesus. If people outside this church, if they knew Christ was here, they would come. They would come. If somebody knew, amen, there was an answer here, they'd come. The world's looking for Jesus. Amen. The lost are looking for Christ. The scripture said, these men are looking. Amen. The Greeks, they're looking for Jesus. The lost, they represent the lost people of the world. They're looking for an answer. Do they find him in our churches? Do they find him? If they come in lost and they don't know about God, do they find God? Do they find God? Folks, do they find him? Do they leave here with a visitation from heaven? Do they find God in our service? See, for that person at the supermarket, at the gas station, at the restaurant, for them to see us is to see Christ. There should be a testimony there. The way he acts, how she talks, how she lives, there must be this, that God is alive. This world is looking for an answer, folks. They're looking for an answer. I'm telling you tonight, if there's ever been a time where people need to see Christ, it is right now. It's right now. They're caught up in drugs, caught up in sin, caught up in perversion, caught up in elections, caught up in so much. But the answer is they need to see Jesus Christ. I'm saying something wrong. Am I saying it right tonight? The world needs to see Christ. I read about Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday went to Philadelphia to preach many years ago, I guess 1910, 15 in that area. I'm not sure of the date. He went to preach in Philadelphia. The revival was so amazing. When he got there, the ball teams couldn't play. They couldn't have business. The bank closed down. The supermarkets closed down because everywhere you went, people was talking about God. And all they desired was to be at that tent, to be in that meeting. It closed the major city of America down because God had come into that city. I'm telling you, it's the answer. People are looking. They want to know tonight, is Jesus real? Does he live? Does he walk? Does he move? Does he breathe? They're looking for an answer. And you and I are the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. For me to walk in through Singapore is for Christ to walk through Singapore. For me to walk through Indonesia or downtown London, or for me to walk, folks, should be for Christ to walk in that place. There should be a testimony that God is living and he lives inside of that church. The lost, all they ask is, can we see Jesus? They turn on the television, the religious channel. They see the glamour. They see money. They see gold, diamonds. They see all of that on the religious channel. They see all the ones begging for money, and they think that's God. They know it ain't, so they don't give to it, and they don't go to church. See, there's a generation of people out there. Folks, they do want to know who God is, but they must be a people that show them who God is. There must be a people. If somebody's got a question, somebody should have an answer. If they have a question, if God's real, the answer should be inside of you and I. Yes, he lives. How do you know? I talked to him this morning. How do you know? He talked to me. He ministered. He touched me. He moved in me. He healed me. He blessed me. He met my need. There must be this testimony that we know who God is. I'm at Walmart. Me and a young man, 13 years old, I put him with me. I didn't know if he was saved or not. A youth went out to witness. I'm out there with him, and a lady comes by, and I said to her, "Ma'am, do you know Jesus?" She said, "I'm a Buddhist." I know Jesus. And she made the comment. She said, "I believe Buddhism." I said, "Ma'am, stop right there. Let me tell you the difference between you and me. You believe Buddhism. I know Christianity is real. I've been touched. Until you know it's real, you know nothing." She said, "You're crazy." She jumped in that car. She took off. The 13-year-old boy fell on his knees and said, "I want to know Jesus like you know him, Brother Hamby. I want to know him like you know him." I wasn't debating if God's real. I had a living testimony inside of me. I was going to hell, bound by sin. I didn't have a program. I didn't have 7 steps, AAA, AA, whatever it was. Had none of that. What did you have? I went to an altar, dirty, perverted, unclean. I came up washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. I came up holy in the Almighty God, folks. That was the answer. Who can fight against that? People say to me, "God ain't real." I say, "He may not be real to you. He's real to me. I've talked to him. I've met with him. I've felt his presence." There must be that testimony to a lost and a dying world that I know who my God is. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know. I know it ain't something I just heard about. Church ain't a place I go just on Sunday. No, that religion isn't what I'm about. I've had an encounter with a man, and that man changed my life. They said of President Reagan, people that had been around President Reagan, I don't know, I don't remember him that much, but if they was around him, they'd be captivated by this man. Well, I'm telling you what, as I behold this this Lamb of God. I'm captivated by him. He so influenced me. I want to be like him. I want to talk like him. I want to act like him. I want to be his vessel on this earth. And when somebody out there says, sir, we want to see Jesus, I can say, he's in my life. Follow me. I can take you and show you the ways to heaven. Follow me as I follow Christ. Oh, that'd be a testimony to a dying world that we know who Jesus is. I'm tired of a people that talk about God. What I'm going to say next, you might find it to be off the wall, but I'm telling you, folks, I was in a church one time. I'm in this church. The young man over there, he's playing the drums. He's talking in tongues, shouting, all this and that. Service ends. I walk out of the church. That same boy is in the parking lot cussing like a sailor. I said to him, sir, I said, you cannot be talking in tongues in there and talking like this out here. He'd cuss me and he'd cuss at me and talk in tongues at me. That's where a generation has come to. That Pentecost has been reduced down to nothing more than just saying a few funny words and living how you want to live. It's more than that. A testimony. If you've been in the presence of the King, how could you ever be the same again? How could you be the same? First, there was a people in the Bible, the Greeks. They just want to see Jesus. They only desire to see the Master. They want to see the one they've heard about. I believe we have a people out around. They've heard about Jesus. They've heard about him so much, they're sick of hearing about him. That's why they don't even want his name mentioned. They're tired of that name of Jesus. Say Muhammad, say Buddha, say Confucius. They ain't worried about that. They don't want to hear his name. I'm telling you, folks, there are people that are looking for Jesus, but they're tired of the same old, same old, same old. Go to church, no victory, no testimony. Go to work, nothing. Amen. There must be this. There's a change inside of us, a change inside of you and I. The lost, they want to see Jesus. And what are we saying to them? What are we saying to that lost world? When they come in this church, when they come in our youth, when they come in our business, when they work with them on the job, what are we saying to them? By my life, by my words, what am I saying? I had to write an email, a missions email today. I hated writing it, dealing with another person in missions, and I wrote the letter. I said this, before you became a missionary, you were a Christian. It's time you start acting like it. It's time you start acting like it. Before we had the crowd, before everyone knew us, maybe as reverend or preacher, or knew us as Sunday saint, whatever, we was in love with God. Our whole desire was God, and it's time we go back to that. It's time we go back to, I just want to see Jesus. Come Sunday morning, I want to see the Lamb of God. Amen. Wednesday, Monday in my house, Tuesday, I want to see the Lamb of God. A friend of mine, good friend, maybe you've heard me tell this testimony. 17 years old, he wasn't saved. His dad was a preacher, but he wasn't saved. He told me, he told the story. He said, I was 17 years old. I told God Sunday morning, God, if you're real, I want to see you this morning. If you're real, it ain't wrong to pray that, folks, because God is real and he wants you to know who he is. But he prayed, Lord, if you're real, I want to know this morning. He said he's sitting over on the right side, right over here. And he said all of a sudden his dad's preaching. He's sitting there. Nothing's going on. And a lady in the church falls over dead. They come over, a nurse lays hands to feel, pronounces her dead. They call for 911. They come in quickly, put her on a gurney. They're going to take her out of the church. Everybody's praying. And the pastor, when they load her up on the gurney, put the sheet over, they're taking her out. And as they began to take her out, the pastor said, bring her to me. Well, everyone just thought the pastor wanted to say a blessing over her before they took her out. They bring her down that aisle, right into the front. The pastor picks her up off of the gurney. gurney, puts his arms around her, and starts pleading the blood of Jesus. He grabs her. He's pleading the blood. Finally, he said, I command you to live in the name of Jesus. And when he let her go, she came back to life and began to run around the church. And when she did, a 17-year-old boy said, God is alive. God is alive. He's been in over 45 countries as a missionary today, because when he had the question, is God alive? I want to see Jesus. He found him to be real, found him to be alive, found him to be the God of the Bible. I'm telling you, they want to know, folks, more than what our doctrine of faith is, more than what we stand on. They want to see Jesus. They want to see him in the worship. They want to see him in the testimony. They want to see him, folks. That is he real? We will serve him. If he's not, we'll seek another. I'm telling you, is he real or do we seek another? Brings me to my next text. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm preaching to me tonight, if you hadn't caught on to that yet. Preaching to me. I'm a minister of the gospel. The late Reverend A. Allen made the comment. He said, if it's a minister of God that don't demonstrate Christ, don't support him. That's what he preached. If that minister don't demonstrate Christ in his life, his message, and his ministry, don't support him. Because if God's real and God's in us, then that should somewhere be coming out of us. How we're living, acting, talking, it must be coming out of us. Matthew chapter number 11. We'll start reading there at verse 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Here is John. Surely John, he's the man, remember, that was a miracle birth, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He spent years in the wilderness. He comes out eating locusts, wild honey, dressed in camel's clothes. I'm telling you, preaching. The Bible says he turned the world upside down. He made the banks of the Jordan River, amen, the center of the world. Even the kings come to hear him preach. A man of God. He's the one that had the privilege of baptizing Jesus as he began his ministry of the kingdom. He baptized him. What a man of God, folks. What a man of God. John, even Christ said, never a greater lived, never a greater born of a woman. Who could doubt the testimony of the man named John? But while he's in prison, he sends his disciples and he asks the question, Do you be he? Or do we look for another? I'm telling you, if you walk with God, there's times those questions come. Is he real? Is he going to move? Where is God? The question's going to come. I want to say this tonight. John's disciples, Jesus didn't say, go tell them what I'm so much saying. He said, go what you hear, what you see, go and tell them. I want to ask you tonight, if somebody out there, some old man or woman of God, if they sent somebody, if they sent their granddaughter into our church, said, granddaughter, go down there to that church. Oh, years ago they were in revival. Go down there, granddaughter. Go down there, grandson, and come back and tell me what God's doing. What would be the testimony? What would be the testimony of the ministry today? Not just here, but in every church across America. What would be the testimony as granddaughter came and sat there right where my wife is, just sat down, and granddaughter took her notepad out and began to write what she saw and what she heard? Would it be a testimony that Jesus is alive? life, or would it be a testimony of a religious system? What would grandson go back to that hospital, to that nursing home? What would they tell grandma and granddad that was going on down at the Pentecostal church? Would they go back saying, "Grandma, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking"? What would be the testimony that would be given? And some of you may not know the late Dr. Paul Loudenberg. Some of you may have heard of him, great Assembly of God preacher through the years from Canada. Dr. Loudenberg, 95 years old, sitting up in Springfield in a retirement home. A man come to visit him, a preacher of the gospel. He said to him, "Son, tell me what's going on. Tell me how the blind seeing, or the lame walking, or the deaf hearing. Tell me, son, are the poor in your area hearing the gospel?" Oh, would that be a rebuke to every one of us, that if there's a 95-year-old saint of God sitting there and ask the question, how is it with our church? How is it with our lives? Oh, what would be the answer? It's one thing, folks, when the world is wanting to see Jesus, but when it comes to the point that the church is desiring to see him. Oh, John desired. A man said to me one time, "Brother Hamby, I've been in church 8 years. I've never seen one person saved. I was the last person saved at my church." He said, "Why has God changed? Why has God given up on us?" I said, "Son, God's not changed. The church has changed. We must go back to prayer and fasting and humbling ourselves and turning from wickedness. We'll see God again. God's never changed. And what he's did before, he'll do it again." But he's not lowering the standards. He's not coming lowering the standards. No, folks. He's looking for somebody he can use. He's looking for somebody. There's a people out there. Oh, there's a church people. Every Sunday they go to church, they have a desire to see Jesus Christ. A desire to see. They ask Emily, the lady from China in the underground church, they ask her, "Emily, what's the difference between the American church and the church of China?" She said, "Well, we preach the same thing and we have the same amount of services as you have. The only difference with the China church is every time we come together, there will be a blinded eye open," probably. She said, "Mostly a blinded eye open, or the lame will walk." She said, "God will be doing something." Oh, what a rebuke that somebody from China would come to America and say the only difference between the American church and the Chinese church is that the Chinese church has power and the American church doesn't. Oh, folks, what a rebuke. What a rebuke. I take ministers with me over to different countries, to India, and they see God move in such a mighty way. Pastor Jarvis was with us there in Kerala, India. He don't even know all the testimonies that came about. We had a service down there, and for years later, they still gave us testimonies of what God had done. In that service, a lady that was lame in one leg, God healed her leg. Another man had blind, he had cataracts on his eyes. The cataracts fell off. Other people were seeking for jobs. They got jobs. Other people were touched. Family members were saved. All because God was there. People were praying. There, we had a prayer meeting, but 4 o'clock in the morning, there'd be hundreds of them there. And when we left at night, there'd still be hundreds of them there seeking God in prayer. God was moving everywhere. I'm telling you tonight, there must be. It's one thing for the world not to see Jesus, but when their own church can't see him, something's wrong, folks. There must be a rebuke. If we could see it, if we could see the shortcoming and realize it's not like it's supposed to be, then we have a new way of improvement. But the problem is most people sit their entire life and never know anything's wrong. They never know. My grandmother, I guess she's 78, something like that, all these years. Nothing's wrong, good health, lived a good life. Other day she wakes up, goes to twist, and breaks her back. She had osteoporosis. It was there all the time, but at the right moment, it showed up. She knew it. A lot of times, folks, we don't realize it's too late till it's too late on a lot of stuff. And when it comes to the church, we can't afford for it to be too late. We can't afford. We must wake up now. I've been to so many churches and saw the people in the wheelchairs, they come by, they don't get up. Other people come in, they leave the same. They come looking for God, folks, and leave. I was in Tennessee preaching one time, lady sitting over here, I didn't know her, she didn't know me, just preaching along there, just reached over, pointed to her, said, "You'll be pregnant." That's all I said. Kept preaching, didn't know nothing. Year later, went back for revival, she's holding a little baby in her hand. For a year she couldn't have a baby, but in that moment God spoke into her life and she had that baby, and the testimony was God had heard my prayers. That must be, folks, that God is alive, and he's alive in his church. If somebody was looking for God, would they know how to find him? Would they know in this hour? They said the blind see. I know that literally means blinded eyes were open, but I believe we have a generation, even in the church, has become blind to the things of God. They don't know if it's God or if it's not God. It said the lame walk. I could preach a whole sermon. I know it means physically lame, but I could tell you spiritually lame people. They sit at the gate of the church every Sunday. They never go anywhere. They never testify. They never preach. They never witness. They never call anybody. The world don't even know they're Christians. They sit at the church door, lame, never moving anywhere, folks. If God be in me, how could I hide that light? Next, it said the leprosy was cured. In the Bible, leprosy represents sin. It represents an eating away of that flesh, an eating away till death. I'm telling you, if God would show up, sin would go, folks. Sin can't stand in the presence of God. Next, it said the dead was raised. How many spiritually dead sit on church pews every Sunday thinking they're right, but they're not. They don't have no desire for God. How many, if God would show up, would be raised, folks? They'd stand up saying, "I thought I was one thing, but I found out I was something else." Oh, that people would see and hear, be moved, be raised. And then it said the good news was preached to the poor. How many around us poor don't even know the gospel? See, if God showed up, there'd be an intense evangelism that would take place in the church. Why? We know he's coming and we've got to reach him. This is simple a message as it gets, folks. But I'm telling you tonight, the church sits by Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and we wonder, where's God? And God says, "Where's my church? Where's my church?" Leonard Ravenhill said, people ask, "Where is the Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah?" He said, "Where's the Elijahs of God?" See, God hasn't changed. He still calls fire down from heaven. He still brings revival. He still heals as he's ever healed. He still moves as he's moved, folks. He just desires of people to line up with God. Amen. What does that mean, line up with God? The Bible said in tithing offerings that if you'd open, that you'd give your tithing offering, there's a window in heaven. And when as you gave that, that window would open. That means if you don't give, that window is closed. That ain't just on offerings. That's for every facet of the church. If we'd give ourselves, God would open that window and give us anointed worship. He'd open that window and give us our youth. He'd open that window and give us our community. If we'd line up with God, he'd open that window and pour us out a blessing we could not contain. The building could not contain what God wants to do. I told you, I believe Sunday night, maybe Monday, that when it comes to God, he said, "You will not return to them, but they will return to you." Jeremiah, you've been weeping and crying. I'm going to bring the people back. I'm going to bring the nation back. I'm telling you tonight, God's going to move. God's going to move. I'm telling, when that fake revival broke out in Lakeland, Florida, people filled down there, 70, 80,000 of them lined out to see a drunk man hit people in the stomach and different stuff. One time they said he had these big sponge cloths and he would dip them in anointing oil and hit people in the head with them, claiming he's imparting a revival to them and all that going on. 70,000 people lined up. You know what they lined up to see? Somebody told them God's in Lakeland, Florida. That's what they heard. They heard God is moving. There's a healing in Lakeland, and people from around the world got on airplanes and flew to Lakeland to see God. That says to me, there's a people out there, they're hungry to see this Jesus. They're hungry. Church people, lost people, everybody. This man, Jesus, he split time, folks. He's amazing. I'm telling you how great that he is. And people do desire to see him. They desire. But if they're going to see him, they're going to see him inside of you and I. Going to see him inside of you and I. I remember there was a movie, I don't know if it's good, bad, whatever, called Faith Like Potatoes. And that man, one of his workers that got killed, well, he didn't have time to fast 40 days or nothing like that. He just had to run down there. It's a true story. And lay hands on his worker and prayed. Laid hands on the worker and the man came alive. Folks, that would be the testimony. People desire to see a God that moves that way. A man said to me, he said, in India, we're not having revival anymore. We used to have revival and it stopped and nobody's getting saved. Trying to tell me it's the time of the falling away. Well, I said to him, in India, they have these massive funeral processions. The entire family comes out. They'll carry that body all the way down there to where it's cremated. I said, sir, do you want revival? He said, yes. I said, next time they're doing the funeral procession and they're going by, go out there, stop the funeral procession, climb up on the casket, lift the man up, and command him to live. He said, what if he don't? I said, you better run. You better run. But if he does, you'll have revival. If he does, you'll have revival. See, the truth of it, a man, a preacher in America said to me a few years ago, he said, Josh, you're preaching this revival stuff. I hate to tell you, but the day of revival is over. It's a falling away. There'll never be a revival. We're too far gone to have a revival. I said, sir, you better go look again. I said, this morning I saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. I'm telling you, it's going to rain, folks. It's going to rain. It's going to move. And God's looking for a people, and the question is it going to be us? Is he going to move among us? He's looking. I'm watching Baptists wake up and crying out. I'm watching different people. They're weeping, crying in the night for God to move all across America. I'm telling you, God is going to find somebody somewhere. A prodigal son is going to wake up to that pool, that cesspool of sin and that hog pen of religion, and wake up and say, somebody show me the way to Zion. And there's going to be a church come out, folks, that's marching towards revival, that love their God with all their hearts, mind, body, soul, all in them. There's going to be a people in this hour, and the question is, are we going to be a part of it? God's going to have a people, but are we going to be a part of it? The last scripture I want to read tonight is Galatians 5 and verse number 7. A lot of the new teachings don't even read the book of Galatians. I was very saddened to find that. Bible schools aren't teaching the book of Galatians anymore. In fact, a lot of people leave Galatians and Jude out of their Bible studies because they don't believe Galatians is even should be in there. But Galatians 5 and 7, the Bible reads, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you shall not obey the truth?" He said, you did run well, Pastor. You did run well, young person. You did run well. But there's come a time in this run with God that we've been hindered. We've been too busy to pray. We've been too busy to study. Been too busy to spend time with God. And something is hindering the walk with God. There's something, folks, that's hindering us in this walk with God. The Bible said, he that believes shall lay hands on the sick, sick recover, cast out devils, lame walk, everything else. We believe, but it's not happening. Something is hindering the walk and the run in God. Something is hindering us in this hour. If you can sit here and say, I'm completely happy with how everything is, then I'm not preaching to you tonight. I'm preaching to a people that desire a change, a people that desire to see God like we've never seen Him before. When revival broke out with Amy Carmichael in India, the little children were trying to kill themselves. You know why? Because she told them there was a heaven. And they said, if there's a heaven, why do we want to live on this earth? Amen. They had to cover the big well where they drew water. Cover it up. Because kids wanted to see this Jesus. They told them Jesus was real. And kids wanted to see who He was. I'm telling you, folks, let's make it a reality. Let's make it real inside of us. That when we minister, when we talk, when we witness, when we knock on doors, when we call on the phone, that we have a testimony. Ye shall be a witness after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Where is the witness? What is the witness? Is He alive? Is He dead? Is He in the tomb? Did He raise? Where is God, folks? Where is He tonight? Where is He? The Bible said He's everywhere. Means He's here. He's here. He's here to heal. He's here to save. He's here to deliver. But somewhere in this service, there must be the prayer of faith. Somebody must be able to say the word that communicates with God in heaven. God opens that heaven and pours out the answer on this earth. I'm telling you tonight, revival is coming. God is going to rend the heavens. He's going to find somebody in this last hour. The Bible said the latter end of that house would be greater than the former. The latter would be greater. This hour is going to be a great hour, but I'm not so sure that the hour's already started and we're missing out on it. We're missing out. China, everywhere you go, people's being saved and healed. Churches growing. India, churches growing. Went to Nepal, fastest growing church in the world. People walk 6 hours to go to church, sit there all day long in the house of God. Don't even leave tonight. Walk 6 hours back home just to be in the house of God. Sri Lanka, gospel was closed for 20 years. Couldn't go there. The north was closed. Now it's open. Everywhere you go, people's praying, having services 7 days a week, desiring. I'm watching the latter house, folks. I'm watching it do so much. I'm watching God move all across the world. We were there in Egypt. The wind of God blew. People couldn't even stand up because the power of God. I'm watching the latter rain fall. It's falling. But is it falling here? Is it falling in my life? Is it falling in my community? Is it falling in my church? Is it falling? God is moving like He's never moved before. The Spirit is gathering a bride for His name's sake. And the question is, are we going to be a part of it? If God's moving, are we going to be a part? Let us stand tonight. Amen. Let us stand. God's moving by His Spirit, folks. That moving is to get a people ready. To get a people ready for His coming. He desires a holy people, and He's not coming for nothing less. He said, when I return, will I find faith? He's coming for a people that's sold out to Him, a people that live for Him, that love His appearing, a people that desire Him more than anything on this earth. Could you honestly testify tonight that Jesus is my life? Could you testify that Jesus is my life? Charles Spurgeon said as a young man, he said, he's about 17 years old, he made a statement, and I read it a while back and it stuck with me. Charles Spurgeon said that even if I woke up in hell, I'd thank God for how good He's been to me and my family. How good He's been. I thought to myself, imagine that. Imagine somebody that could just know that God's been good to them. No matter what happens, I know God has been good to me. I know He's who He says He is. He's a deliverer. He's a miracle worker. He's a Savior. He's everything we need tonight. And He wants to be that. He wants to be that in our lives. Is He passing us by? Is revival passing us by? You know blind Bartimaeus? The story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus comes by. It's a whole group of people out there. Whole group of blind people. The Bible said one of those men began to cry out, blind Bartimaeus, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Jesus calls him, heals him, walks on to Jerusalem. He never came that way again. Those blind people sitting there, if they didn't call out that day, they never got their healing, folks. If they didn't, Jesus was passing by. He said they missed the hour of visitation. I'm scared that America is missing the hour of visitation. Now is the time. If you're waiting for 20 years from now for America to get better, better politically, better friends with Iran, closer to Israel, get better, and then 20 years from now, revival will break out from Washington to California, it ain't going to happen. Revival's broke out already. Go to Latin America, Pentecost going everywhere. Go to South America, where it used to be Catholic, Pentecost going everywhere. People touched and healed. Go to Africa, go to Europe. The church is moving in a mighty way. But in America, we're sitting still in the water, thinking one day just the wind's going to blow and everything's going to be all right. We need to be the people that turn from our sins, humble ourselves, seek our God, and let God be God again. Amen. Amen. Tonight, just a general, I don't sometimes give very detailed altar calls because I believe if God's dealing with you, I don't got to beg you to come. I got to beg you to come. I got to beg you to stay. But if God's drawing you, God will keep you. I'm just giving an altar call tonight. If there'd be a desire for revival in that heart, God's been dealing with you. God's been showing you the way back to Zion, showing you back to what the church's supposed to be. If that's your desire, I want you to come. Kneel around these altars. Kneel here with me and let us just pray together. Amen. Let us just pray together. If you would, let us come. Amen. If it be your desire tonight, be your desire for revival, be your desire to see God be God, we must find a place to pray. If you've ever called out to God, tonight's the night we better be calling out. Oh, folks, what are we going to tell John? What are we going to tell John? They come into our services looking for Jesus. Oh, do they see him? Do they see him? Do they see him? Could somebody show me who Jesus is? Oh, let him deal with us tonight, church. Let him deal with us. We need revival. We need revival. It's the answer for everything. We need revival.